Chapter 13. 29th August. Hot for the season. Woke up sweating today. Well, that might have partly been the dreams. I can't remember what they were, but they were enough to have me restless and irritable all day. Went by the docks later to pick up some fish for dinner and passed by the compound where the Canary once were. It's all locked off now, of course, but even the sight of the Templars guarding it exacerbated my temper something awful. Normally, I ignore them perfectly well, but today... I tipped an imaginary hat and winked at each of them, but I had the mustached one scowling. Good, I thought at the time. Might as well share the misery. Now I wonder if it just made me more likely to be shot the next time I walk into the gallows. I don't know why I'm in such a terrible mood. I suppose I just didn't sleep much last night. Fourth Kingsway. Still hot, but the water is beginning to cool. Someone fell in the bay as we were passing the shipyard today and came out shivering. Fenris is swinging his sword lately like Carver did when he was 15. All abandoned and not the slightest care for his own defense. Thank goodness both Varric and I have been taking extra care to watch his back. Who knew the sudden relief of pain would lead so directly to the invitation of more? Took out two bands of raiders in Darktown today. I told Varric to start giving my share of the reward to the others, as long as he doesn't tell them I'm doing it. The last thing I need is someone to be both hungry and mad at me, Anders. I'm yawning so hard my jaw's cracking. It wasn't a long day, but I think I'm going to turn in. 12th Kingsway. Leaves are beginning to change, but the weather's not cooperating. Blech. Went out to the camp at the base of Sundermount today with Meryl and Aveline. Meryl wanted some advice on a way to treat the ironbark we got for her all those months ago, but Master Illyn wouldn't help her. Said he keeps clan secrets for the clan, and she's left it. Like talking to a brick wall. Meryl was furious and argued with Marathari afterwards, who said she was welcome to rejoin them any time she liked, so long as she understood what that entailed. Meaningful look, pointed stare. Meryl was so angry she nearly started crying, and we left so quickly a little flame sprang up in our wake. In retrospect, the flames might have also been Meryl. I've never seen her so upset. 15th Kingsway. Sky has been gray all week. Went by Meryl's today with a basket of grapes and spinach and wrapped figs and that sort of nonsense. She was still irritable and took several minutes to ask me to sit down. Well, as irritable as Meryl gets, which is still miles kinder than me on my best day. That said, our awful moods fed off each other, and I don't think I left her feeling much better than when I came in. At least she'll eat well tonight, I suppose. Maker, I hate that mirror. It reflects something worse than what it sees. 25th Kingsway. Getting colder. I haven't slept well in a month. I don't know why. I'm snapping at everyone and waking tireder than when I went to bed. I keep dreaming something... I don't know. Something violent and red and unsettling. I can't ever remember it when I wake up. Midnight. Hot. It's burning me alive. There's fire everywhere and they're holding me down. Fire or brand? Fourth Harvest Mere. Tried to make a point last night of writing down my impressions immediately after the dreams woke me up. Now I'm tired and angry and worried. If these dreams are so vivid, why can't I remember them? 8th Harvest Mere. Windy. Told Anders what my dreams have been and that I haven't been sleeping. Pitying looks all around, and a tincture for insomnia. I picked an argument with him, too. Just because I could. 12th Harvest Mere. Fought with Fenris today over the stupidest thing and broke down in frustrated tears. Lost control of a spell out on the coast and nearly incinerated myself after the battle was already over. Hit Toby in the face at the door by accident, slammed the door so hard afterward a hinge snapped. Something is wrong with me, and I'm afraid of it. 13th Harvest Mere. Fenris is here to take me to Anders. Aveline's behind him for the intimidation effect, so the joke's on her. I can see the worry in her face. I'm so angry I could spit fire. Maybe I will, and they'll leave me alone for once. Later. Anders didn't know what was wrong with me. Meryl happened to be there, though, because of course she was. She says a rage demon's been stalking me in the Fade for 2 months. She thought I knew. Well, shit. Evening. Cold snipe. Taking lyrium before bed instead of Anders' insomnia mixture. Feels odd to be gearing up for war instead of a night's sleep. I suppose I've been complacent long enough. Meryl and Fenris are sitting up for me tonight in case I turn into an abomination. Usually I'm much better at nipping these things in the bud. I can't remember the last time I was so distracted I didn't notice a demon nibbling at my edges. Sixteenth Harvest Mirror. The wind is keener today than it has been all week, and for once I'm welcoming it. Demon ousted. A miserable thing, not terribly strong, but sneaky, and hissing like oil in a pan the whole time I fought it. I recognized the dream this time, thanks to the lyrium and Meryl's warnings, and managed to slip outside the nightmare to where the demon was lurking. A pyre in tranquility, as it turned out, and I was burning. The last line has been scratched out. Little fiery beast. It felt like ages, but when I woke at last, it was still dark outside, and Fenris and Meryl were still awake by candlelight. Fenris nearly leapt out of his skin when he saw I was awake. Meryl only stayed long enough to make sure everything was all right and to release her glyphs, and then she left us to a little privacy. I didn't want it at first. I was so embarrassed and ashamed of my behavior since... well, since August, really, and I was certain this whole business would be his last straw. Everything he feared from magic, after all, and every reason to fear the mage wielding it. He could have walked straight away, and I wouldn't have been able to summon a word of blame. Except, he said, why is this so hard to write? The last few words are scratched out. He said there were some things worth fighting for, worth staying for. He held my hand and told me he had been worrying for me since the first week of Harvestmere, and that he had feared for my safety tonight. He didn't like me going to war somewhere he couldn't follow. Shit. Shit. I'm so tired. I couldn't sleep after, just from the rush of the fight. So we just stayed awake talking of nothing until the sun was well up. I could feel that it was different, though, that there was a pressure at the base of my skull that was gone at last, and Fenris said my eyes looked clear again. I told him he didn't have to stay once I felt myself finally drifting off, and he said he would go if I told him to. An odd little echo, though it didn't hurt as much in the hearing as it might have once. He stayed, sitting against the headboard, and I fell asleep with my back pressed against his leg and his hand in my hair. I woke alone, but it was a day and a half later, so I suppose I can't be too miffed. 20th Harvest Mirror. First frost of the season last night. All the roses have gone black at the end of their petals. Head over and over for dinner tonight, ostensibly to celebrate my name day. 5 days belated due to, as it happens, robust attempt at demonic possession, but mostly so I could finish off my apologies for my behavior over the last few months. Everyone accepted them. Even Anders, whom I love dearly, but who, dear journal, can hold a grudge longer than anyone I've ever met. Still, how very rotten. I find I much prefer extending my magnificent beneficence to others over casting myself prostrate beneath their mercy, even when I'm reasonably sure it's there for the offering. Ah, well, at least I'm very humble. An addendum by a square, blocky hand. The humblest of us all, Hawk. Maybe save the proclamation for when you're not drunk on Antiban wine next time, though. hair draped over the elf like a cat, and I haven't seen him this stoically pleased since the night he won 8 sovereigns off Hervania Diamondback. Also, quit leaving your journal out on tables. You're just inviting trouble at this point. V. Fourth first fall. Quite cold today. Forced both Fenris and Meryl to put on boots before we went up the mountain. He complained at first, but he looked miserable enough halfway up, even in the cloak and boots. I couldn't tease any further. I didn't even realize he'd been in here until today, Varric. Nosy. Flames. I miss Isabella's lewd doodles. Loodles, as it were. Stopped by the hanged man on the way back into the city and ran into Donick having dinner with Aveline. They'd just finished the evening shift, I think. The right time for it, anyway. We saw them before they saw us, and they looked so content with each other. Maker, I'm happy for her. I still think about Wesley sometimes, and I only knew him for a few hours. If she can have even a single ounce of happiness with Donick, I'll shift the city to make it happen. I'm not sure how, exactly, but I will. 17th first fall. Snagged my cloak on a nail today and nearly tore it. Fortunately, it was wet enough from the icy drizzle that it slid right away. Feeling rather nostalgic between the weather and Saturnalia. Happened to pass by the Warden's dead drop barrel in Darktown this morning and had sudden, vivid memories of all the letters I used to drop in there while we were waiting to hear from Carver. I don't miss that agony in the slightest. I was... We were all younger, then. Stopped by the chantry once I got back to Hightown so I could light some candles for Bethany, and Papa, and Mother. I suppose Carver made me think of her, and I didn't want to let the Saturnalia season pass without a prayer to Andraste. Orana happened to be there speaking with Sebastian, wearing the new shawl I gave her this season, and she and I walked back together to the estate afterwards. She made her father's soup for lunch, and Bowden made tiny honey cakes for dessert. A fairly quiet day, I think, but a good one. 30th first fall. Brutal winds today, like knives. Didn't see 2 inches of bear skin between all my errands this morning. Admittedly, I kept my errands to a stop at the Fletchers for Sebastian and a brief visit to Gamlin just from the biting cold. I had a carpenter come by this summer and patch all the gaps and holes, and I wanted to make sure it was all up to snuff. It is, of course, for a workman selected at Varric's recommendation, but I was pleased to find Gamlin as full of piss and vinegar as he's ever been. He did awkwardly pat my shoulder as I left, which is a bear hug from Carver, which is of itself as rare as diamonds. But then, Anders and Donick, of all people, were waiting for me when I got home. Turns out they didn't come together, just arrived at the same time, but Donick said they had a very pleasant conversation while they were waiting. I am dubious, Journal, considering Anders's eyes have been more blue than hazel these last months, but I suppose I must decline from calling Donick a liar to his face. Anyway, Anders only stayed a moment. He wanted to apologize to me for not being more help with the rage demon. He'd been so distracted lately between his clinic and the undergird. The last few words have been scratched out. I swore to him I'd never write a detail about that, even though I used to know more of it than he did. That was a long time ago, though. He'd been terribly distracted, was the point. He said it wouldn't happen again. I said I'd just as soon prefer not to have my mortal soul preyed upon by the Maker's first children again, either, which I don't think he found nearly as funny as I did. I made him take some leftover honey cakes before he left and promised to come to WG next week in penance, though. And then it was just Donick and me, and even though it's been months, I still wince at the memory of that living disaster of a dinner at the Hanged Man. It helps that he's the most even keel of the group, though. Maybe on account of all his brothers? He told me he was glad I was feeling better. He said he and Fenris had been worried about me for ages while all that was happening, and he hated seeing both me so ill and Fenris so anxious about it. To which I articulately said something to the effect of, And he laughed at me again and said Fenris's mood has improved significantly at their games anyway since everything's been resolved. Then I said he had to have some purpose in coming over besides needling at my underdeveloped senses of both shame and appropriate retaliation, and I'd start divulging torrid secrets to Aveline if he kept up this behavior. Then he got all flustered and fidgety, and I'm embarrassed to admit it only then occurred to me why he'd come all this way and tolerated Andrews' company as long as he had. Tonic wants to marry Aveline! He came over to ask if I thought she'd accept, given I'm her oldest friend here. Oh, Journal, I'm so pleased for her! He wants to propose quietly, but he wants us to be there to celebrate. He has a small home just a few minutes' walk from the barracks, and we'll all meet thereafter. Assuming she says yes, he said, to which I said I'd throw him right out if he kept up that sort of talk. This almost makes up for everything these past few years. Maker, give the city a little joy. Ninth herring. Snow this morning. Only a miserable little dusting, but better than nothing. Thinking about Lothering today and how it probably has snow all the way up to the eaves by now. Well, if there's anyone left with eaves, anyway. Actually, now that I think about it, I wish I hadn't thought about it. There's a group of Feraldins who work at the Bone Pit that I see sometimes in Lowtown when they're off shift. None of them came from Lothering. One pair of brothers is from Redcliffe, I know. And there's a woman and her friend from just outside Southreach, and I think someone from the Lake Callanhead area as well. I heard them talking today at about a trip one of them made to visit family in High Ever, and all the sights they saw along the Imperial Highway, and they were all laughing and reminiscing, and between the landscape and the broad accents that sounded like home, I found myself exceedingly melancholy. But isn't that what I'm always telling Fenris? When you can't look back, you've got to look forward. There are some things here I'd never give up in 1,000 years, no matter how lovely Lothering looks in the spring. When there isn't a blight on, at least. 18th herring. Unseasonably warm, which means I got to leave the woolly balaclava at home today. One day, perhaps far from now, when all the world is new and Daenerys is dead and the Maker is returned in glory and Meredith and Orsina are doting upon their third wee little child, I should like to have a day job that doesn't require me to kill people. I will say the hangover from Aveline's engagement party didn't help. But still. 5th winter march. Cold again. Gray stormy skies. Not one of my better days. We were excising a slaving group from Darktown. I'd been feeling off all morning and I couldn't place the reason. Snappish again. Though certainly not of demonic origin this time. And then the last slaver went down and his blood sprayed over the back wall, and it all came back in a sudden bright flash. It was the exact same place I'd found Gafsgard years ago. When Mother... The blood reminded me. All that to the day. Flames, it hurt. Like a bolt from the blue. And thankfully Sebastian and Meryl were too deep in conversation about something else to notice. Fenris did. I don't know when he started becoming the one to see through me like glass. I saw when he realized, too. Where we were, I mean. And he came over and put his hand on my cheek, and he didn't say anything. Didn't have to, for as much as his eyes said. And he didn't say anything when I dragged in a horrible, shaking breath. Just turned a half step so I could stand behind him, away from anything Sebastian and Meryl, and the coterie, for that matter. Might notice. I haven't the faintest idea how long we stood there, my forehead against the back of his shoulder and my fingers all twisted up in his belt, just so I could have something to hold. It felt like the only silence in the world, with Fenris an isolated and indomitable rampart between me and every cruel place in it. A lifetime stretched out into a handful of seconds. Andraste, I loved him for it. I do still. He may never love me, not in the way I'd hoped, but he cares, and for the first time I know I could be satisfied with only this. I don't want to, Maker knows, but I could. His friendship is a precious thing.